This is the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, supported by Jim Duncan of Jim Duncan Real Estate. Visit jduncanrealestate.com. Hello, I'm Sean Tubbs. This year marks the 150th anniversary of the death of Charlotte Bronte, the author who gave millions of school children something to read with the publication of Jane Eyre. The novel is one of the most common in the English language, and Charlottesville's Rare Book School is honoring Bronte with a look at the ubiquitous nature of this classic in a special exhibit at the University of Virginia's Rotunda called Heir Apparent, which takes a look at the depth at which this novel has penetrated pop culture, and to show that there's much more to a book than its text. Barbara Heritage is curator of collections at the Rare Book School. I met her recently in her offices at Alderman Library while she was putting the exhibit together. I asked her to describe a shelf that contained much in the way of Eyre paraphernalia.
What you're seeing here is a collection that's being displayed this fall in the Rotunda at the University of Virginia. It is a collection that's been building here at Rare Book School for a long time, over 5 years. And what we're looking at right now is the exhibition poster, which is a collage made up of 21 images taken from various editions of Jane Eyre. And they date from 1910 to the present. 2004 is actually the latest. At first glance, some of these editions look identical. And when you start examining these books, you begin noticing differences. Illustrations will move around, text changes, and you begin to understand that books are productions, just like a stage performance. It's never the same from one performance to the next. What we're trying to do is kind of uncover the subtleties behind the production of the book and to investigate them.
The text on the inside is largely the same, but can you give me an example of what some of the differences are between them? I mean, obviously they all have the same ending, right?
Yeah, they do.
Sort of the idea is to sort of take how Jane Eyre has evolved, or the depiction of Jane Eyre on the covers of these performances has been done over the course of time. For example, on that 1910 one there, can you just describe what that one's like?
Yeah, sure. This book is a great reflection of the period during which it was created. The cover design has an image of a woman with blonde hair and very red lips. She looks just like a Gibson girl. And if someone saw this book, if they didn't see the title Jane Eyre stamped here, they would probably not guess it was Jane. Jane was a very plain character in the text. But this woman is a beauty, and her beauty is consistent with Edwardian ideals of the time, 1910, when it was published. So it's basically trying to appeal to the audience of that time to get them interested in buying the book.
The next one that you have in order there is a little smaller, and it seems to be sort of like a Hollywood poster for an upcoming film.
Yeah. This book was designed in 1944 by Royce. It's called A Quick Reader, and it's designed to be mailed off to soldiers during the war. And I guess to spice up the story, which is not too spicy, they've tried to put an attractive woman on the cover. This woman looks, to me, very much like a combination of Virginia Bruce and Joan Fontaine, if you can imagine. Both of them played Jane Eyre in the movies. Virginia Bruce in the 30s, Joan Fontaine in the 40s. And inside, if you look at the art, these illustrations are extremely mimetic, almost snapshots that have been illustrated, and they're copies of scenes in the movies.
So we have the one from 95 years ago, where she looks like a Gibson girl.
Yeah.
And then it sort of evolves, and there's some other ones up here. And on the shelf here, can you just describe what some of the other ones are like? And I guess going from the glamorous to the spinster-esque.
This is a copy that was published by Blackie & Son, London, Glasgow. And this was a 70s production, and it's designed to appeal more to a child. The image is quite innocent in comparison to the vamp on the 1944 Royce cover. She's in watercolor. The sketch is very similar to something that Jane Eyre, the character, would have sketched, fanciful, innocent. It's in extreme contrast to something like what you find on the Wordsworth cover. This cover actually has a 19th century painting on it. The painting was by a man named William Breakspear. This cover, while it's 19th century, actually has an image of a woman who really belongs more on something like the cover of a Jane Austen novel. She's in Regency costume, which is too early for Jane Eyre. The plot of Jane Eyre takes place fairly contemporary with the publication of the book. Most of the covers are in keeping with the times. This one, we can only imagine, was supposed to appeal to a child. I think really this, what's happening here is the hero of the story, the heroine rather, can't be plain. They just don't want her to be plain, so they make her pretty. This Jane, she's a Pre-Raphaelite goddess. I can only assume that she was chosen for the cover because they wanted to convey the fantasy of the fantasy and the fantastic nature of the text.
What was the market for that one, do you suppose? I mean, is it for children? I mean, because it's a pretty thick book, that particular copy.
No. See, the type is large. You open it up, and it's illustrated by a woman named Kathy Mitchell. And it's filled with illustrations, color and black and white. And so I think really this cover was trying to soften up the story, make it appealing to children. This is my favorite illustration because it has this little caption underneath. While arranging my hair, I looked at my face in the glass and felt it was no longer plain. So it's almost as if, you know, Jane has been underestimating her beauty throughout the story, and she's been pretty the whole time in this, you know, it's almost saying, well, Jane, you always were beautiful to us. Whereas in the story, in the text that Bronte wrote, she's just glowing because she's just been proposed to by Mr. Rochester, and she's gorgeous because she's, you know, in heaven. But this woman wants her to be beautiful from page one to the end. And I'm sure the kids loved it, you know. You can see that when you match it with that kind of illustration, it really puts a different spin on the story. It is taken from the story, indeed, but you can imagine, because the story is in first person, that this woman was humble or modest the whole time. And when she said she was plain, oh, maybe she really was beautiful and she just didn't see it. That's another thing. The first person nature of the text, I think, gives people the feeling that they have more license when they are illustrating it, because they're trying to read through Jane's evaluation of herself and the other people.
This one here looks like a college edition, college text.
Yes.
So can you just describe what's going on in this one?
Yeah, this is Broadview. And when I was a graduate student here at UVA, I loved Broadview. Their texts are great. They have wonderful appendixes full of relevant historical materials, reviews that came out when the book was published, and so on, lovely essays. And they always do a good job with their cover. The cover here is a photograph of a young girl named Charlotte Spears, taken by a relative. And let's see, it was taken in 1857. It's property of the Bodleian Library at Oxford. And what you have is an historic image of a very plain, kind of unhappy-looking girl. She's looking into a mirror, not straight at the camera, but the reflection meets our gaze. And it's lovely. It's a lovely image, not because of the beauty of the child, but because of the composition. And I think that's kind of fitting for Jane Eyre, because Jane Eyre is not about physical beauty. It's about positioning, placement, putting yourself in the world, being in the right frame of mind.
So the depictions of her run the gamut from the plain to the fairly spectacular to the somewhere in between.
Uh-huh.
How about some of the other... Now, I'm sure that you have comic books and illustrated versions here someplace.
Yeah, this is actually not a comic book, but a Japanese advertisement for the Joan Fontaine Orson Welles movie. This book, like all Japanese books, opens the wrong way, we would say, right to them. But the opening is on the left side. I have here some paper dolls that were issued around the time that the Virginia Bruce, Colin Clive, Jane Eyre came out. And you can cut them out and play, dressing up the lovely Virginia Bruce. By the way, Virginia Bruce, I don't know if you know what she looks like. Tall. blonde, beautiful. In the movie, she is shamelessly domineering. And the script is actually rewritten to accommodate her character. So that in the book, in one scene, you have Jane Eyre playing here at Thornfield Hall as the party approaches with Blanche Ingram, Mr. Rochester, these wealthy, noble people. Blanche Ingram is a very wealthy, privileged woman. In the book, you have Jane and Blanche meet each other, and Jane is basically, who is that person? You know, she's just a mousy little governess, and, you know, she's to be ignored. In the Virginia Bruce version, Jane Eyre comes down the stairs, and Blanche Ingram stands at the bottom, jealously appraising her. Enter the beautiful governess. So you can see, I mean, well, it's different. I mean, better or worse, it depends on what your take is. What's your purpose? I bet fans really loved it when it came out. It's not the Jane Eyre I know, but it's telling. People wanted it that way. They wanted a Cinderella, in a sense.
And at the opposite spectrum of innocence, down here we have some additions that could be considered, yeah, at the opposite end of innocence.
Yes, there are, well, I guess there's a long history of popular spinoffs. Rebecca, the Hitchcock film, and Daphne du Maurier's novel is kind of Jane Eyre-esque. And there have been lots of romance novels that have used Jane Eyre as a catchword for getting readers to read the book. Jane Eyre, eat your heart out. Or they're trying to attract readers who like the story of Jane Eyre to read their romances. Those are common. What people don't really know about are the S&M versions. That's sadomasochist literature. And my co-curator, I know he's going to blush whenever he hears this. He might want these to be censored or dressed. We have on the cover here of Stephen Rawlings as Jane and her master, a photograph of a woman without her top on, in rapture. And on this cover, disciplining Jane, we have a woman in a thong smacking her butt. These books are very dirty, indeed, but they do stick fairly closely to many details of the plot. Disciplining Jane takes place in Lowood. I have not read it from cover to cover. I've skimmed. But it is, you know, full of spanking and disciplining, like anyone would expect. Jane and her master follows Jane from Lowood to Thornfield Hall, and everyone, again, is appropriately punished. They're very bad, very, very bad books, with a sense of humor, though. And I'm sure that if anything could be appropriated from highbrow literature to S&M, Jane Eyre really is ideal in many ways, because there is punishment, corporal punishment at Lowood. The sci-fi version, it's not really, it advertises itself here. Jenna Starborn, this is the name of the book, a brilliant new twist on the classic story of Jane Eyre. A woman bold enough to seek her own way, strong enough to stay true to herself, and brave enough to follow her heart wherever in the universe it may lead her. It was extremely popular. It has always been popular, and it has the novel itself has a very dramatic aspect to it. It just asks to be turned into a play and a movie and many other things, as you can see. A thimble, a glass, a journal, a doll, a tea towel. It goes on and on.
That's Barbara Heritage, curator of collections at the Rare Book School in Charlottesville. The school is holding a special day to honor Charlotte Bronte. Jane Eyre Day is this Friday, December 9th, and will feature screenings of various Jane Eyre film adaptations, tours of the Rare Book School, tours of the Heir Apparent visit, and a lecture on Jane Eyre by UVA English professor Karen Chase. To find out more, visit our website at www.seavillepodcast.com for links to the schedule. This interview has been a presentation of the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, supported in part by Jim Duncan of Jim Duncan Real Estate, jduncanrealestate.com. That's one J at the top there, jduncanrealestate.com. I'm Sean Tubbs. Thanks for listening.
It was not your frame I wanted, but the spirit underneath. Your virtue and your purity bite into me like teeth. And God should strike me down if you are truly gone. But why must I have eyes to see on a pair? Why must I take one more breath? Let lightning strike, that's not the worst. I'd rather burn in hell, damning my soul.